It has started.
Judge Conklin?
I'm present.
Ms. Fleming?
I am here.
Thank you. Judge Buckley?
Here.
Judge Cope? Judge Fannin? Judge Gabe?
Here.
Heinrichs?
Here.
Judge Kelly?
Here.
Judge Marginis?
Here.
Judge Ryan?
Aloha from Maui. I'm here.
Wow.
Judge Thompson? Cam, I see you.
Yeah, I'm here in Washington.
Terry, I'll mark you.
Yeah, Brandy, I can't hear you very well. There's a lot of feedback, but yeah, Terry Carter is here.
Yeah, I'm getting the same.
Somebody might be, is somebody driving? Oh, I think we're good. Better, everyone?
Yes.
Great. All right. Ms. Eberhardt? Mr. Finke?
I'm here.
Thank you. Mr. Landry? And I have Mr. Planet on here. I'm pretty sure he's just about retired. We'll go ahead and mark him out. Mr. Rule?
Here.
Mr. Taniguchi?
Here.
Mr. Taylor?
Here.
Ms. Turner?
Here.
Mr. Yamasaki?
Good afternoon. I'm here.
Thank you. And advisory members, Mr. Wardlaw?
Good afternoon, everybody.
Thank you. And Ms. Bueller?
Here. Thank you.
You.
Okay, so we clearly have a quorum. We've got a few members that perhaps are a little bit late joining us. We'll look forward to them coming on board. But I'd like to get the meeting started. A couple routine matters to cover. I think you all know the rules, so we don't really need to go over those. Concerning the minutes of our April 22nd meeting, they're attached to your materials at page 4. I hope and assume folks have had an opportunity to review those minutes, and I would invite a motion to approve.
Bartleson moves.
Thank you. Second?
Romaine seconds.
Moved and seconded that the April 22nd minutes be approved. Any opposition to that motion? Hearing none, the motions are the minutes are deemed approved. And as I understand it, we did get public comment that's been distributed to all of you. We do have a letter from the California Family Law Facilitators Association as public comment. As with every committee from the council on down, given the format of these Zoom committees, public comment is submitted to all members in written form, but it is distributed to all members. We've had a chance to review that. I think we're ready to move to further action and discussion items. Brandy, have I left anything out?
You have not. We're ready to go.
Great. So that's going to turn us to item number one, which is 2021-2022 court-appointed dependency council allocations. This is an action item. We have Audrey Fancy and Vida Terry with us from the CFCC. This is a regular annual allocation. It's a recommendation related to $156.7 million. The materials for this are found at page 6 of 46 of the published materials, and I would invite the presentation to begin.
Good afternoon. I'm Audrey Fancy. We are here today to request approval to bring fiscal year 2021-2022 court-appointed dependency council allocations to the July Judicial Council meeting. The recommended allocations are based on the current $156.7 million annual budget for court-appointed juvenile dependency council, consistent with the governor's January budget proposal. I will note that we are aware that the Senate Access to Justice package includes augmentation of this funding. Allocations are shown at Attachment 1A on page 8 and are based on the methodology adopted in April 2016 with the recommendations of the Small Court Dependency Workload Working Group incorporated as approved by the Council in January 2019. The key factors using this allocation are, for each court, a 3-year rolling average of original dependency filings, a 3-year rolling average of number of children in foster care, and the Bureau of Labor Statistics Governmental Index average as modified for other judicial council budget allocations. Additionally, the allocation was adjusted to reduce the impact of the funding methodology on small courts, with 31 courts currently meeting this definition. Two adjustments are made in accordance with the Council of May 2017. The 23 smallest courts with caseloads under 200 continue to be exempt from reallocation-related budget reductions. Small courts with a BLS average of under 1.0 are adjusted upward to 1.0. And that's my presentation, but we would be happy to answer any questions or provide further information about this item.
Audrey, thank you so much for that effective and efficient presentation. The recommendation itself in written form is at page 7. And again, as noted, it's recommended that TCPAC approve the 21-22 allocation in the amount. And I'll now open it up for questions or discussion. By the way, Judge Thompson has joined us. I see Judge Thompson's, there we go, thanks. We'll show him in thank attendance, you. As is Ms. Eberhard. She's with us. Nancy, thanks so much. Is there anybody else that joined us that was not answered up on roll? Great. So now returning to item one, I didn't hear any, and I want to make sure I'm not preventing any discussion. I didn't hear any discussion items or any questions. And I've waited now a couple minutes. If there aren't any, I would.
Judge Conklin?
Yes.
Chris Rule, thank you. Just Audrey, one informational question. And that is I'm looking at page 8 of the materials, the chart. There's column A that shows the caseload funding model estimated funding need. And so was wondering if it might be possible, I assume that's the caseload funding model estimated funding need for the current fiscal year, if it might be possible to get the caseload funding estimated need for the year before the current year as well. And the reason I ask is, for example, for Monterey, in the current year allocation, we had a reduction of 103,000, which is about 12% reduction, so not insignificant. And so really just for planning purposes, for planning and projecting our own budget needs at the local level, it might be helpful to have at least one prior year estimated funding need so that we could sort of project more effectively into the future what might happen in future years going forward with our local allocations. Is my question clear?
I think that's clear. So the column A is the workload methodology, which would get us to the caseload of 141 cases. So currently the total need of the state is at 202.7. If I recall correctly, last year the total statewide need was 199. I can't remember the digit after that. So it has increased by a little more than 3 million as a funding need. So we could certainly add an additional column to show the trend in the total need, as well as you know, there's also, we do include the allocations for each county going back to 2015, but we can include the total need as well there.
That would be great. Thank you very much.
And Chris, I just want to clarify, that's a great suggestion, but that'd be for years to come. I just want to make sure that it's not something, and if it is, that's fine, that you would concern you about the current recommendation.
Yeah, I don't have, no concerns about the current recommendation. It's essentially just an informational request going forward to help support our local budget planning and projection efforts.
Great, thank you. Any other questions for Audrey? And if not, is there a motion?
I'd make a motion. Go ahead.
Bartleson moves for approval as proposed.
Judge Thompson will second.
All right, it's been moved and seconded. The recommendation at page 7 of your materials, as stated, be approved. Now that it's been moved and seconded, are there any further discussion requests concerning this motion? I hear none. And with that, is there any opposition to the motion to approve the recommendation at page 7 of the materials? Paused. I hear none. And therefore, as the chair, I'll deem the recommendation unanimously approved. Thank you very much, Audrey. Appreciate that presentation. It was very, very useful to us. Thank you.
Thank you.
We're now moving to item 2, which are allocations from the Trial Court Trust Fund and Trial Court allocations for the 21-22 budget. Oksana, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Great. So this is a regular annual allocation recommendation. It includes funding proposed in the governor's budget that we've already addressed in prior meetings. It also includes an informational update as it relates to the workload, to the WAC workload assessment advisory committee recommendations on workload formula. And with that, I will turn it over to you, Oksana. It's a pleasure to see you as always. Thank you.
Thank you, Judge Conklin. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Oksana Tak, Senior Analyst with Budget Services. Presenting to TIGBAC for consideration the preliminary 2021-22 allocations for the base, discretionary, and non-discretionary programs from the Child Court Trust Fund in the amount of $2.378 billion, including State Court Facility Construction Fund allocation in the amount of $50 million for support for operations of the trial courts, and general fund allocation in the amount of $68.8 million for employee benefits, as well as workload allocation in the amount of $2.215 billion based on methodologies approved by the Judicial Council. Please note that the governor's 21-22 budget proposes to consolidate the State Court Facilities Construction Fund and Immediate and Critical Needs Account. In February 2021, Governor Newsom and legislative leaders announced an agreement that would restore the previously enacted 2020-21 reductions of $200 million for the judicial branch, effective July 1, 2021. Of this amount, the proposal would restore the $167.8 million reduction included in the 2020-21 trial court allocations. To maintain timely access to justice in the trial courts and to help courts address impacts of the disruptions caused by the pandemic, the proposed budget also includes $72.2 million ongoing general fund, which represents an overall increase of 3.7% compared to the 2020 Budget Act. Based on the approved recommendations from the recent April TIGBAC meeting, the restoration of the $167.8 million is allocated back to the trial courts on a dollar-for-dollar basis, consistent with the reduction amounts implemented in 2020-21. The $72.2 million in new discretionary funding is allocated based on the council-approved workload formula methodology. I would like to begin by directing your attention to attachment 2A and 2B on pages 14 through 16 of the materials and go over the base, discretionary, and non-discretionary funding for five programs. First is the Judicial Council program, reflects Revenue and Expenditure Subcommittee recommendation for Judicial Council staff in the amount of $3.809 million. Next is support for operation of the trial courts, has TCTF allocation in the amount of $2.066 billion. The new allocations include $30.17 million for non-court interpreter benefit cost change for 21-22, new discretionary funding of $72.2 million for trial court operations included in the 21-22 governor's budget, which includes also a non-sheriff security allocation, and the funding restoration of $167.8 million. Also, Revenue and Expenditure Subcommittee recommendation for support of operation of child courts in the amount of $42.784 million. Now the court-appointed Dependency Council program, reflecting an allocation in the amount of $156.7 million. This allocation was just presented under item one of today's meeting agenda. Next is the Court Interpreter Program with RNE Subcommittee recommendation of allocating amount of $87,000. And lastly, expenses on behalf of the Child Court Program with RNE recommendation in the amount of $21.693 million for expenditures incurred by Judicial Council on behalf of the trial courts. Following to the workload formula allocation in attachment 2C on pages 17 through 19 of the materials. The workload calculation includes allocations, revenues, and adjustments for a total of $2.215 billion. Changes to the prior year workload formula allocation include the following. Reduction for subordinate judicial officer conversion, adjustment to the SGO allocation, change in automated record keeping and micrographics collections from fiscal year 18-19 to year 19-20. Also 21-22 non-interpretive benefit cost change, criminal justice realignment funding, 2019-20 revenues collected, and 2021-22 funding floor adjustment, which includes a reduction to the funding floors for two courts, with all other courts sharing a pro rata increase in the funding floor allocation. The funding floor adjustment may change based on the final appropriations included in 2021 Budget Act. There's also a number of pending allocations. First, due to timing, preliminary reduction for the trial court's reserves above the 3% cap will not be available for TIGBAC consideration prior to the Judicial Council meeting in July. However, final reduction, allocation reductions will be considered by TIGBAC prior to recommendation to the Council at its meeting before January 2022. Second, the allocation of monies using the council-approved formula collected through the Dependency Council Collection Program will be brought to a TIGBAC and Council once final 2020-21 collections are known. Also, pending are various revenue distributions as required by statute or authorized charges for the cost of programs or cash advances. In addition, there are a few caveats. Any changes to the appropriations provided in the final 2021 Budget Act may impact the allocations presented today. And due to the COVID-19 pandemic, final TCDF allocation amounts for 21-22 will be based on available state revenues in final budget decisions. Some modification may be necessary based on the state revenue reductions and priority changes. Also, our report contains the most recent Workload Assessment Advisory Committee recommendation for informational reference regarding the Resource Assessment Study Model, which is the foundation of the workload formula, specifically updated for 21-22. Due to the pandemic impact, the approved approach for filing update is to use the July 2019 through February 2020 timeframe for each court by case type and extrapolate to a full year, adjusted for seasonality patterns observed based on the averages of 2017-18 and 18-19 data. Lastly, so committee members can be assured that TCDF has sufficient funds to support all requests, please look at the attachment 2D, which displays the current TCDF fund condition statement on page 20 of the materials. It is projected for 2021-22 to have an ending fund balance of $69.9 million, of which approximately $25 million is restricted on row 31 and $44.8 million is unrestricted in row 32 projected balances. Therefore, TCDF is anticipated to have adequate funds to support the 21-22 proposed preliminary allocations. The committee recommendations today will be presented to the Judicial Council for approval during its scheduled business meeting in July. That concludes our presentation. Budget Services Management and Program staff are available to assist in answering any questions you may have. Thank you.
Thank you very much, as always, very thorough and informative. I realize it's also very detail-oriented, but as every member on this call knows, we have been through these details and we have vetted these issues thoroughly, and we have more to go, but it is now set for a recommendation as set forth on page 10 of the materials to move these items forward. They'll filter through JBBC and end up in front of the council at their July meeting. But with that, I'll open it up to any further questions or comments for Oksana or any general discussion. Again, the recommendations that we're asking to be considered are set forth at page 10 through 11. Questions or discussions?
Judge Conklin, Chris Rule again. Just one small clarifying question. On attachment 2D, line 31, the restricted funds. Oksana, what do the restricted funds currently comprise?
Oksana, are you there? Uh-oh. Well, I saw her.
I might have to refer this to Angela if she is available. Chris, was that 2D row 31 of the 31. Statement?
Yeah, and it's not, you know, it's not relevant to approving the motion at all. It's just, again, just an informational request.
Sure.
So not urgent and doesn't have to be answered in today's meeting.
So I can just provide a quick kind of general response. This is Angela Cowan, manager in budget services. The restricted funds on line 31 of the fund condition statement reflect any funds that we receive that are specifically stated and have to be used for a specific purpose. They're not funds that can be used for anything else. For instance, we restrict the court interpreter funds specifically for court interpreter use. So if there's a year where we have an allocation of court interpreter funds that are not used, which hasn't happened, you know, the last couple of years, but we restrict them in that line and we say those are only spendable for that purpose. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thanks, Angela. That does answer generally. And that's part of where the question came from, because I'm aware that specifically with court interpreter funds have been included in that restricted fund line item. So since those are no longer part of it, just kind of curious what it currently comprises.
Yeah, there's other things in there. Specifically, I don't have the detail on it right now, but there's other things that are specifically restricted in the fund balance for one purpose only.
Yeah, and a couple that come to mind on the top of my head, Chris, 2% automation is restricted. Children's waiting room is another restricted item. So we'll be happy to circle back with the committee to give the detailed list of what is comprised of restricted funds.
Great. Thank you, Brandy.
Yep. Very much appreciated that clarification. So again, the recommendation is set forth. I don't want to stall out any further discussion and invite that discussion unless there's a motion to approve. So not hearing any further discussion, is there a motion?
This is Judge Gabe. I move to approve as recommended on pages 10 and 11.
Thank you.
Any Sherry second? Carter, I'll second.
Very good. It's been moved and seconded. The recommendation set forth in 10 and 11 as stated be approved and move forward. Now that that has been moved as a motion, it's open for final discussion before I call for a vote. And there doesn't appear to be any. And again, I make this comment many times, but if anybody's listening in from the public, the lack of questions today should not be reflective of a lack of concern. Rather, in my opinion, they're reflective of a thorough vetting of these issues prior to it coming to the committee today. We have considered and considered and considered this issue, and we've made recommendations, and we're ready for those recommendations to move forward. So with that, it's been moved and seconded. I've invited further discussion and heard none, and therefore we'll ask if there's any opposition to the motion as noted by Judge Gabe and seconded by Sherry Carter. All right, I've heard none. My phone ding, which probably means it's time to move on. So I'm going to find that the recommendations as the chair, the recommendations at 10 or 11 are unanimously approved and will be moved forward as noted. Thank you very much, not only Oksana, but for all the committees, the subcommittees of TICBAC that put in so much work on these issues to get us where we are. It's It's truly appreciated, and it allows us to continue our great work. So thank you very much. Moving next to item 3, which is set forth at page 21 of your materials. This is an allocation update of the 3-year average census data from the California Department of Finance. We've heard informational updates as it relates to the population within this methodology every 3 years, and that's the next 21-22 cycle. The allocation includes population update, and we have Bonnie Huff with us today from CFCC to update. Bonnie, I invite you to present.
Thank you. I was wondering if Nicholas wanted to present it all on the census data to start.
Yeah, I'll do a brief summary, and then I'll pass it back to you, Bonnie. Does that sound great?
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you both.
So this is just a brief summary of the action item, and then, like I said, I'll pass it back to Bonnie Huff to say a few words regarding the specific recommendation. So in September of 2018, the Judicial Council adopted 3 policy recommendations regarding self-help funding allocation. 1, staff would update the allocation every 3 years with the latest 3-year average county population data for proportional allocation after baseline funding. 2, in between this 3-year update schedule, staff would annually provide the latest 3-year average population update as an informational only item. And again, this was just to keep courts up to date of any population shifts and better prepare for the allocation update that happens every 3 years. And then 3, the last recommendation was to maintain the current self-help allocation baseline of $34,000 per court and revisit in 2021. So this item addresses recommendations 1 and 3. And table 1 on pages 22 and 23 in the materials, we have the new 3-year county population averages and their relative change from the last 3-year population averages used for allocation. And then correspondingly, on pages 24 and 25, table 2 shows these new county population averages as a proportion of the state total applied for the funding allocation, which will be used for fiscal year 22, fiscal year 23, and then fiscal year 24 before it's updated again. So now, I'll pass it back to Bonnie to say a few words in regards to the specific recommendation.
Great, thanks, Bonnie. Okay.
Sure, thank you. So CFCC staff is recommending that we maintain the current basic formula, which is $34,000 for every court and the rest of the funds to be distributed per population, which is the formula that this committee recommended 3 years ago. And this is after looking at the cost-benefit analysis. First of all, what we found is that nearly all the funds are spent by all the courts, which is certainly an indication of need of an appropriate use, and that this would provide minimal disruption to the courts in a time of, amazing uncertainty. And we looked at the cost-benefit analysis and the different methodologies that were employed by the courts. I will say the pandemic has definitely disrupted many of those service delivery methods. We're seeing, obviously, many more remote services, fewer opportunities to do workshops in the same ways that were happening, whatever, and courts are still obviously very much in the process of sorting out systems and procedures. And so it does seem appropriate at this time to continue the methodology as recommended, and again, to provide the most stability to the courts at this point. I'm happy to entertain any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Bonnie. Thank you, Nicholas. Appreciate that very much. So the recommendation is set forth at page 25. There's the charts that we're all looking at that show the actual allocations, so I'll open it up for discussion. And having done that and hearing none, I'm going to invite a motion concerning the recommendation set forth at page 25.
Judge Conklin, this is David Yamasaki. I would have moved approval of the recommendation contained on page 25 of the materials.
Thank you, David.
Bartleson, second.
Moved and seconded the recommendation be approved. Now that it's an official motion, any questions or discussions on the motion? Hearing none and moving forward, is there any stated opposition from any member concerning the motion that is now before the committee? And I hear none, so therefore I'll deem this recommendation as well unanimously approved by the committee. Bonnie and Nicholas, thanks so much. Always good to hear from you and always efficient. I appreciate that. And finally, we're moving to item four on our agenda. As far as our last action item, we have Dawn Will and Anna Maves with us. This is a consideration of recommendation from FAMJUV on an updated methodology for facilitator allocations and continued methodology for commissioner allocations with a 2021-2022 biannual allocation as required by 1058. The provisions are provided through a cooperative agreement between the State of California and Child Support Services of the Judicial Council. As a summary only, but with that, Dawn, good to see you. Anna, good to see you, and I'll turn it over to the two of you to present.
Great. Thank you so much, Judge Conklin. Hi, everybody. I'm Anna Maves. I'm the program manager for the AB 1058 program at the Judicial Council, and I'm going to kind of start with an overview, and then Dawn's going to walk through some of the models that were under consideration for the new family law facilitator methodology. So just by way of background, in 2015, the Judicial Council created the AB 1058 Funding Allocation Joint Subcommittee that was comprised of the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee, the Workload Assessment Advisory Committee, and the Family and Juvenile Law Advisory Committee, and they were charged with creating a new workload-based funding methodology for the funding that's allocated for the commissioner side of the program and the funding that's allocated for the facilitator side of the program. The subcommittee recommended that the Judicial Council approve a new funding methodology for the commissioner funding that would use the same workload and cost structure as used to allocate trial court funds, with a cap of funding to changes no more than 5%, and that the smallest courts and the courts that had an existing agreement for shared services of their child support commissioner be held harmless, that the continued to reallocate funds every 2 years, with F&J making recommendations to the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee, that the would continue the funding allocation on the family law facilitator side of the program using the historical methodology until fiscal year 21-22. And at that point, the Family and Juvenile Law Advisory Committee was charged with gathering information and making recommendations to the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee for a new funding methodology, and that the Family and Juvenile Law Advisory Committee make recommendations for minimum funding levels for the Child Support Commissioner and monitor the impact of the new funding methodology on court operations and the ability for courts to meet the requirements of the federal requirements and the contractual requirements that come with the funding. So in January of 2019, the Judicial Council approved the new workload-based funding methodology for the commissioner while deferring a new methodology for the facilitators until 21-22. So we are here today to update the child support commissioner funding and to provide options for a new family law facilitator methodology. So as required by the council, the proposed new funding methodology and the continued implementation of the current child support commissioner methodology was considered by the Family and Juvenile Law Advisory Committee, and they make recommendations to TICBAC. As part of their recommendation, they also received public comment from the California Family Law Facilitators Association and considered those comments when making this recommendation. So the Family and Juvenile Law Advisory Committee makes the following recommendation. Assuming that the funding for the program is restored to the fiscal year 18-19 levels, they recommend that for the family law facilitators, there be implemented a new population-based methodology similar to how the funding for the self-help centers is allocated, with each county with each court receiving base level funding of $34,000, and then similar, the remainder of the funding would be allocated out based on population, and that similar to the child support commissioner methodology, any funding changes would be capped at 5% to allow a slow transition and allow courts to maintain their current service levels. With regard to the child support commissioner side, They recommend maintaining the current funding methodology that was previously approved by the Judicial Council in January of 2019 with updated workload measures. They also recommend deferring making recommendations on minimum funding need for the smallest courts and deferring reviewing the impact of the current funding methodology on program performance just because of so many factors that have gone into changes this year, including the pandemic and the funding reduction that the courts received for this fiscal year. If funding is not restored to prior year levels, they recommend deferring the implementation of a new funding methodology for the facilitators and recommend pausing the implementation of the updated workload numbers for the child support commissioners side of the program. So that's where we stand, but I'm going to turn it over now to Dawn to kind of walk you through some of the proposals that were considered with regard to a new funding methodology for the facilitators.
Anna, thanks so much. Dawn?
Thanks. Brandy, I'm going to share my screen. Is that all right?
Absolutely, Dawn.
Okay.
Perfect.
As Anna noted, we considered a number of different models. Get this thing out of the way. I'm very sorry. A number of different models for the family law facilitator methodology. We were directed in 2019 to gather information and make recommendations. One of the reasons to defer it was to wait for the self-help cost-benefit analysis that Bonnie just mentioned. And so that is now in, and we are going ahead with this. What we found analyzing the results of the cost-benefit analysis was a few things that were, I think, already underscored in the discussions of the commissioner model, but some of the challenges that small courts face, including a lack of alternative legal assistance, lack of access to remote services, and lack of enough people to achieve economies of scale. We presented this to the committee, as well as our own budget analysis of AB 1058, family law facilitator costs, which is very striking in showing the high ratio of attorney to non-attorney staff in small courts, and the high ratio of customers to actual filings that small courts see compared to larger courts, which we would partly attribute to, again, the lack of alternate services available to people in rural areas. We looked at a number of possible funding methodology models using various sources of data, the data that the facilitators submit themselves through a program called STARS, GIBS's filing data, and data from the Department of Child Support Services, and we resolved those into really two different models. One, well, I say GIBS's based, but a workload formula based using GIBS's filings and RAS metrics to produce a need for the courts, and the other based on the current self-help center methodology. This was requested in part because the facilitators frequently are working side by side or even the same person as the self-help staff. So we wanted to look at this to see what a consistent model would look like. We looked at mitigating factors on the models and models that you will see, though we'll also show you the kind of raw data. Recommend that cluster one courts are held to no decrease, that all courts have a 0.5 FTE base, and that there's a limit of 5% increase or decrease in each two-year funding cycle. Just to pause a bit on need, so the great advantage of at least running the workload formula-based model is it gives us a calculation of need, which using GIBSIS and RAS time weights and the rest of the things noted on this slide shows that our need for the program is about 27.7 million. The funding we get from the DCSS is 10.8 million. So that's 39% of what we need is funded through the base grant. Looking at the, well, I know it's a little tiny print, but looking at the allocations based on models, on the left you see the, so these are the four clusters, 1, 2, 3, and 4, left to right. The left-hand group is what, how the funding is apportioned currently, and this is an allocation that's been based on programs assessing their budget, telling us what they need, and us keeping up a kind of ongoing historical funding formula. If we moved straight to a GIBSIS filing-based formula with no mitigating factors, it would the allocations would look like the bars in the middle. If we move to the self-help center population-based model, the bars look like the ones on the right. This shows that same, but without having to do the addition and subtraction in your head, what the plus, positive, and negative dollar impact is by cluster. Again, on the left is the GIBSIS filing-based model. On the right is the self-help center population-based model. So looking at these and considering the information from the cost-benefit analysis, the Family and Juvenile Law Committee decided that the self-help center population-based model was the best one. And this one we are applying, as Bonnie just described it, with a $34,000 base for each court, the rest of the funding allocated by total population average. When, of course, you adjust for a plus or minus 5% cap in any one cycle, you can see that the impact to courts is fairly mitigated by the 5% funding. So the committee recommended that we allocate the funds using this methodology, which I just described, and as well recommended that cluster one courts not experience a decrease and that all courts be limited to a 5% change. The rest of the recommendations, Anna just went over in her presentation, so I'm going to stop sharing, and we're both available for questions.
Thank you so much to both of you. And with that, we will open it up for questions. I just want to clarify. So the recommendations at page 28 of the materials 1 through 7 are what is being submitted to TCPAC today to consider. Is that correct? And anybody can take that brand.
48. Page 48.
I apologize. I was trying to get off mute. Yes, so those were the recommendations that came out of the Family and Juvenile Law Advisory Committee as recommendations to the council. So we're asking, or to the TCPAC. So we're asking this committee to consider those recommendations and ultimately make recommendations to the council for a new funding methodology and further implementation of the Child Support Commissioner funding methodology.
Right. And it is 28, I think. I thought I heard somebody say 48. But we don't have 48 pages.
28, Jez.
28.
Yes.
Right. Okay. Okay. With that clarification, any questions for Anna or for Don or general discussion?
So, Judge Conklin, this is Sherry Carter. I have my hand up, and I don't think you can see it for some reason.
I'm sorry. I apologize. Sherry, go for it. Thanks.
So, I am going to state that I absolutely support no changes to our smallest cluster one courts. I definitely agree that, you know, it's hard for them to meet this requirement, especially those that have bandwidth and other issues. I do think the rest of the reallocation is too slow. I think that I 100% agree with the California Family Law Facilitators Association in expressing concern. I think that having a 5% every 2 years and even recommending that we not do anything unless it's restored is just kicking the can down the road yet again, because we started this process in, I think it was 2015. Is that right, Don? 2015.
I believe so.
Yeah. So we've been committed to equity and funding, and we've been committed in using methodologies that provide money based on demand. This is another kind of demand. We have not done anything since we identified the problem in 2015, and this is the slowest process, as you can see from Don's chart. It might move a dime to cluster to Imperial County, who is significantly underfunded, but probably it's more like a nickel. So, you know, I will, as always, support what the branch feels is best, but I think this is moving too slow for a branch that has publicly stated it believes in equity and funding based on demand. And I believe that we should either make the not delay it if there isn't the base levels at a minimum, or to make the adjustments every year and not every other year, because otherwise it is moving too slow for something we committed to in 2015.
Thanks, Sherry. So follow up on that comment or any concerns? Okay, so hearing none, and Sherry, I wasn't sure. Well, I guess I'll just invite, is there a motion concerning the recommendation set forth or any alternative?
Yes, I will make a motion that we not defer making recommendations 1 and 3 until 2223 if the funding is not restored to the 18-19 levels at a minimum, that we do not defer. That at least would allow us to make the adjustments every 2 years.
So you're looking, are you looking
at? So that would be item 5 on page 28.
So are you making a motion to approve 1 through 4 and 6 and 7?
Yes, without 5. Yes.
Okay, thanks. I just wanted to clarify that. So that's a pending motion. I haven't heard a second, not that there shouldn't be. Or any alternatives or discussion?
This is David. I'll second the motion to approve 1 through 4 and 6 and 7 as moved by Sherry Carter.
Okay, so the motion is to approve 1 through 4 and 6 and 7. And so this will display a lack of ignorance, as I'm inclined to do. But if we in fact do not defer the recommendations 1 and 3 until 2223, if the funding is not restored, then what happens?
So we would look at what the current allocation is for the court. So the current allocation for this fiscal year was, remove the $7 million, and we would then use that as our starting point for building out the model. So when we're applying the new updated workload numbers on the Child Support Commissioner side, that's what we'd be referring to and using that as our 5%, no more than 5% cap with regard to that. And then we would be using, well, we're just implementing the new family law facilitator funding methodology. So, and not pausing that and using historical. So we would start fresh based on what the new funding methodology with the overall funding that's available based on the current allocation. We do have that funding restored in the governor's budget right now, so we're very hopeful that the funding will be restored for next fiscal year. So, fingers crossed.
And Sherry, that's what you anticipated, what Anna just clarified?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, what it does is it still is moving us, in my opinion, too slowly, but at least we know that there will be movement one way or the other. So I do agree with what Anna said, but regardless of whether the funding's restored or not, at least we will be on a every other year path of moving a nickel a year. So yes, that is, yes.
Great. You always state these, make them understandable, at least to me, and I appreciate that. So with that, there's a motion now to approve recommendations 1, 2, 3, and 4, and 6 and 7 on page 28. To move forward, as I understand it now, this would be to the council in July?
Correct.
And that's been seconded. Any discussion on that? Questions, concerns? I hear none, so I'll open it up to a vote, and I'll just follow my standard format. Is there any opposition to the motion as stated 1 through 4 and 6 and 7, and 5 would not be part of the recommendation moving forward to the council? Hearing none, I'll deem that unanimously approved, and so it's clear, I think it's for Brandy, 1 through 4 and 6 and 7 are approved, 5 is not moved forward.
Got it, thank you.
All right. Great. And thank you again, Anna and Don, so much for all the work that goes into this. It's not an easy issue, but it sure is thought well, addressed well, and as Don's told us, all their alternatives considered. So we appreciate that.
Thank you. All right, very
much. You bet. That takes care of our action items, folks, but the fun continues. We are now going to move to some very important informational items, and I'm sure I saw Fran on here. So Fran's joined us to give us an update concerning the 2021-2022 budget. And again, this is a discussion item, no action required. Fran?
Thank you very much, Judge Conklin, and I appreciate you framing it as the fun continues. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you very much for the opportunity to be here to provide a brief update on the status of the state budget process at this time. So since the governor released the 21-22 budget proposal back in January, the state's economic outlook and revenue forecast have continued to improve. The Department of Finance recently reported that state revenues are now $16.7 billion above the forecast for the first 9 months of the current year. So this reflects state receipts from July through March and is primarily due to a less severe economic downturn than projected and a very strong stock market performance. So this additional revenue, coupled with the $26 billion that California will receive as part of the federal American Rescue Plan stimulus package, gives the administration and the legislature a significant amount of one-time funding to utilize as they finalize their budget priorities for 21-22. For the judicial branch, the governor's budget includes approximately $600 million in new funding. This includes the proposed $200 million restoration for budget cuts that were taken in the current year. The restoration includes $177 million for support of trial court operations, and of that amount, $168 million would be allocated. So as the administration is working on finalizing its proposed budget, the legislature is also shaping its budget priorities for the upcoming year. In April, the Senate Democrats released their budget package. It's titled Build Back Boldly, and it's focused on helping California and working families. Specific to the judicial branch, the Senate proposal includes an access to justice package, which is being heard today, and a fairness and equity for court users package. Just last week, the Assembly released an update to their budget blueprint plan. Theirs is called a budget of opportunity. They originally released it back in December, but because of the boost in state tax revenue and federal stimulus funding, they've revised and reissued their plan. Their plan includes some high-level concepts for the judicial branch, such as enhancing court services for low-income individuals and improving services for court users, but we don't have much detail yet at this time. Budget process is moving really quickly. We're headed into the final stages. Both the Assembly and the Senate held budget subcommittee hearings this week. On Monday, the Assembly voted to approve several judicial branch proposals. These include several of the capital outlay BCPs, the $30 million in deferred maintenance, the $53.5 million for facility maintenance and leases, the $18.9 million for state fire marshal issues at two of the courts, the placeholder trailer bill language for consolidation of the state court facilities construction fund, and also two capital outlay reappropriations. This morning, the Senate convened a budget hearing. It's still in progress right now. Discussion items for the branch included remote court proceedings, collaborative courts, and the Senate's access to justice package of their budget priorities. Also on the Senate agenda as vote-only items are the same judicial branch budget proposals as those acted upon by the Assembly, the ones I just mentioned. With the exception of the cap outlay BCPs, they're still open at this time. So the hearing's still in progress. They reversed the order a little bit. They're going to hear their issues, they're going to take public comment, and then they're going to vote on those issues. So we're expected to get the results of those votes a little bit later on today. Typically, the legislature will close out their non-controversial budget proposals before May revision. This gives them time to really focus on kind of the new proposals that are introduced in May. Issues such as the $200 million restoration and the funding of the $72 million for child support, they're still open, and the legislature will consider those when final revenue estimates are known after May revision. The Senate has another budget hearing scheduled for next week on May 13th, and we expect the Assembly to calendar another hearing as well. The governor's May revision will be released by May 14th. That's a week from tomorrow. And this is the last update to the budget and reflects the final proposed spending plan based on updated revenue projections. We expect that there'll be more information in the May revision as to how the administration and legislature propose to use the federal stimulus funding. The following release of May revision, the legislature works very quickly to close out budget issues in both houses. This is usually done by the end of May. Actions that differ in each house of the legislature go to conference committee, which is usually set for early June to reconcile those final decisions. The legislature then has, they're required to pass a balanced budget by June 15th. The governor has 12 days after that to sign it. So we expect a final enacted budget by the end of June, which would go into effect on July 1st. So as you can see, there's a lot to be done over the next 7 weeks to finalize the budget. That concludes the update. I'm happy to address any questions that you may have.
Judge, I think you're muted.
Sorry, my clock was chiming and I muted myself. I think I saw Chris's hand up and Neil's hand up, if I'm not mistaken. Chris? And now you're muted, Chris.
Sorry, Judge, I think I forgot to take it down from before, so no, I don't have my hand up.
Neil, did you have your hand up?
Yes, I do. I have a question on an access to justice package.
Mm-hmm.
Does that, I don't know if you're at liberty to discuss this, but there's an SB 568 in the Senate, which is proposed to repeal all the administrative fees, including civil assessments, TAP program, all of your citation fees. It's just about everything. Does that include that access to justice package?
I don't know for certain, so let me please confirm that. That package was being heard this morning, so there might be a little bit more detail available. We will certainly follow up and get back to you with the details.
Thanks.
Thanks so much, Fran. Appreciate that.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions for Fran? As she noted, the May revise is 5:14. Mm-hmm. I'll cover this a little bit at the end of the meeting. Our next meeting is actually in July, unless and as could happen, if the May revise changes what we've previously done, then we have the ability to pivot very quickly, thanks in part to this meeting format, and get back together if necessary. But if things proceed otherwise, then we'll have the May revise come out, and our recommendations will go to the council prior to any further tick back action unless that's required. Okay, Fran, thanks so much. Really appreciate
it. Thank you very much, Judge.
And we're moving now to info item two. I'm told Zlatko is probably still in that hearing, I think. So did we have Jessica with us to give us the update on the allocations from IMF?
Judge Angela Cowan is going to provide an update.
Yes.
Great, Angela. Sorry. Thanks. Great, Angela. Thank you so much for stepping in. Appreciate it.
Sure. So again, I'm Angela Cowan, Manager in Budget Services. I'm providing the update on IMF revenues and IMF allocations. You would have normally received the IMF allocations at this meeting along with the TCTF allocations. However, we took the proposed 21-22 IMF allocations to the Revenue and Expenditure Subcommittee in April. Subsequent to that presentation, we received further revenue information to that informed our projected revenues for the next fiscal year. And we determined that there may be a potential that we would not be able to afford the proposed allocations, the 21-22 proposed allocations with those revenue updates. So we immediately contacted the co-chairs of R&E and let them know that, you know, we were going to not present this item at TICBAC because we do need some time to scrub the revenue and expenditure data. We're still in the process of doing that scrubbing, but we hope that we'll bring this item back to the chairs of R&E as an informational item, and then come back to TICBAC with probably a similar proposal for allocations. But after we've done our due diligence, we'll be able to provide you with more information about that item.
That's
understandable. I'm happy to take any questions.
Great. Any questions for Angela? That's an understandable approach. You just talked about pivoting, and it sounds like we have to be able to. Any questions for Angela on that brief item? Okay. Angela, thanks so much for stepping in. I appreciate it. We're about to move to item three. I should have mentioned, by the way, I talked about the council meeting coming up in July. And as I remind all of you, we now thankfully have the assistance of JBBC as we move forward with our actions. And so JBBC is going to meet on May 18th. And if that meeting necessitates TICBAC to reconsider issues, we'll be able to do that as well. So they'll next meet on May 18th, and what they do may dictate a further meeting for us. With that, Brandy, I know you've been waiting anxiously for info item number three, which is the $50 million COVID funding update, and thanks for taking it.
Sure, thank you. So this item is to provide an update on the most recent expenditure reporting information for this $50 million one-time funding, as well as the allocation redistribution. So as you recall, this funding was distributed in $25 million increments. The first was a pro rata methodology, and the second was based on data and the approved definition of backlog. So with courts coding their related expenditures in the Phoenix financial system, we've currently identified $59.5 million in expenditures so far this year. Courts are still spending, they're still coding, so we definitely expect that number to increase. After a recent survey to courts regarding their spending plans, in an effort to identify funds that we could use for the redistribution, we have now heard from all 58 courts. Your report in the informational packet at the time was only 51 courts reporting. So I'm going to provide some updated numbers for you. A in your materials is now that 20 courts will be spending or encumbering their full allocation of $5.3 million, and no additional funding is being requested through the redistribution. Next, 9 courts will not be spending or encumbering their full allocation amount of $400,000, and they will be returning $169,000. And lastly, there are 29 courts that will exceed their allocation amount of $44.3 million, and they have shared an additional need of approximately $62.7 million. So with that, we do have the $169,000 available to help those courts with an identified need, and this will be redistributed to them using the methodology for COVID backlog funding, and that'll take place in our May or this month's distribution to trial courts. So that is the update, and I'm happy to take any questions.
So is it fair stated another way to say that 49 of the 58 courts either spent all or did not have enough COVID funds given the $50 million allocation.
Yes.
And of the nine courts that didn't spend it, and I'm not implying anything by this, I'm just talking about numbers. There was only 169,000 that wasn't from those nine courts put together. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Great. Questions for Brandy about that? Okay. Hearing none. So this meeting was originally slated for 4 hours. We cut it down to two, and we're at 1 hour and 5 minutes. I hope nobody minds that. I know you've been all so busy. I want to take just a minute before we adjourn and thank staff. John, I see you're on here as well. You're always very helpful to us. If there's anything you wanted to add, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I just want to acknowledge the work of you and your excellent staff every time. Just is beyond appreciated.
Thank you, Judge Conklin, and I share your sentiment with staff. Outstanding job by the team. With regard to the final deliberations, as the governor prepares to release his May revision, Fran had mentioned the Assembly and Senate packages. I believe Neil had a question. The details associated with the Assembly plan are very limited at this point. I think what's happening is they are waiting to see what the governor's financial projections are for the next few years and how much money is really available this next year before they start assigning specific dollar amounts to it. What we have right now, we have high level estimates, but I think they're all waiting anxiously to see what the governor's going to say regarding the upcoming year's financial projections, as well as the Legislative Analyst Office, which also provides a fiscal set of projections. So with that, more to come after the May revise, and hopefully a lot more clarity on both the Senate and the Assembly plans.
Great. Thanks so much, John. We appreciate
Thank you, Judge.
All right. So again, I remind everybody, we talked about those meeting dates. We've got our meeting in July. We've got JBBC May 18th. So there's work ahead, but also a lot of work accomplished. I want to thank everybody on our committee, everybody participating in the subcommittees. Rebecca, as always, you do all the work. I do all the talking. If there's anything else you want to add, please let me know. But I'm sure you all know, as I will acknowledge, that Rebecca is many times the one getting all this work done to get to us. And then I'm the one that looks to take credit for it, but we should all acknowledge the work you all do and Rebecca does as well. And with that, I thank everybody. I wish you well. I don't mean to be humorous by anything, but thank you to the Giants fans on this call for not talking about the Dodgers performance currently. It's rather painful to see, but anyways, just a little bit of levity at the end of the call. Thank you all so much.
For all the mothers, happy Mother's Day.
Yeah, there you go. And appreciation as well. All right, folks, well, we'll adjourn the call. Thank you all so much. If you have any concerns, I'm a phone call or a text away. Thank you all. Take care and be healthy.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.